Hello, and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community College's Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
All right, Dana. Fill it up.
All right.
It's a Friday.
We made it.
I know we are 2 weeks into our winter session.
This feels like
we've been beat down, and this is just a extended first week, doesn't it?
Yes.
I don't know what it is. It's a whole new year.
Is it summer yet?
I know, right? not just to get past the pandemic, but to get through this whole winter thing.
Man. And I mean, it's just, good grief. Like, I think you summed it up pretty good there. Only two weeks in. Man.
I know. but, you know, it was a busy week, I'm sure. Did you see foot traffic with the students at the counters?
Mm-hmm.
Virtual counters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, we're trying to not only get students to complete their current financial aid file, but also complete the new FAFSA application, too. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's always outreach. Fun. Yeah. It's that ongoing question of we need more students to apply. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much more dire of circumstances you need to apply for aid than what we're in the middle of right now, right?
Absolutely.
I don't quite get it myself.
You know, Dennis, though, I will say, though, and I'm pretty sure you've had your fair share of listening to students' stories and their, you know, their circumstances. So, and you know, I think everybody... they're processing this differently and
absolutely
and if you're not their experience
and if you're yet. Not going to come to school, I completely understand the 1001 reasons why you wouldn't, but if you're coming to school and you have some kind of need for financial aid, what's holding you back? The last time I checked, we don't live in certain countries ran by totalitarians where you fill out a form wrong, the police come and take you away in the middle of the night.
No,
so it's not like there's FAFSA police, everybody. Oh, there's no FAFSA police. So what are you worried about? I don't know what the... Someday I'll write a book of the excuses. You know, words straight from the mouths of babes.
Oh, man. I guess. And that should be the title of the book, too.
Yes. Why I Didn't Apply for Financial Aid.
Mm-hmm. And missed
know.
Out.
I just don't understand it.
But we're trying, Dennis. We're trying to get the word out. Mm-hmm. You know, trying to encourage our students. You know, go ahead and especially, you know, I think we're doing a really good job helping students complete the FAFSA application. It's just getting them to complete the file.
It's a follow up item sometimes.
Yes. Uh huh.
Use of different names when they applied to college versus their FAFSA. Mm-hmm. Need to verify income and certain things on the FAFSA. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Confirm they're high school graduate, because yes, that is a requirement of financial aid high school graduate, yes, GED or some other equivalent. It's just crazy. The good thing is over the years, the percentage of students being selected for the straight out normal verification process has gone down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're now below the 30% level for the last year or so that the federal government has always said you have to do at least 30% because they're selecting less students because more of them are doing the FAFSA and doing the IRS data retrieval tool, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where when you do the FAFSA, do the federal aid form, you actually link to the IRS and it pulls in the data that's needed. So what could be more accurate? And that accounts for a lot of it. But then, you know, there's still always those students who get selected for verification. You don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember and this is just an interesting point before we move on to whatever our topics are today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Someone once questioned one of the federal people at a federal conference about why is it when a student changes their email address on their FAFSA, the next thing you know, they're selected for verification. And you know, and this answer made a lot of sense coming from the person who brought it up. And they weren't snarky about it or anything, but they put it this way. So when students and parents fill out the FAFSA, again, being a federal form and being important and all that good stuff, if your lack of attention to detail is to the point where you can't get your email address right, what in the world are the chances that any of that income and asset questions were answered correctly? And so it's a risk management thing built into the FAFSA that looks at not are they just changing income and asset numbers and maybe need to be triggered to be verified, but it's things like changing their email address and some other small little parts on FAFSA that might indicate in their risk management model that they just, you know, they're not paying attention to the detail on things like they really should. And so it's an interesting thing to think about when we talk with students and all about the need to be accurate and up to date on their FAFSAs as far as making sure they're doing it proper from the start. And that can sometimes be a little bit of a problem.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just one of those things that I bring up there. But let's see what we got on our list of things to talk about today. Oh, I see the first one is, of course, my Monday and Tuesday this week was the FAR/exec board meeting. What that is the first day of our CISA exec board meeting is actually a financial aid regional reps meeting with Chancellor's Office, the state system office here for community colleges, staff to go over state-related things to financial aid, you know, news about Cal Grant programs, the fee waiver, which is now the California College Promise Grant, and all those kind of things. And stuff about budgeting and topics like that. Day number two, then, is the official CISFA Association Exec Board meeting, and I run that. Both of them are now half days. Normally, this would be a day and a half or more of a meeting if we met in person. But because of Zoom and, some of the cutouts and stuff that you don't have to do anymore, travel in particular, we can cut it down quite a bit. But we covered a lot of things at the meeting.
Okay.
We talked about, you know, the new CARES Act related emergency funding for colleges. Mm-hmm. And when you look at some of those examples, I think we talked about that last show. You know, we're looking at more than double of what we got the first time.
Yeah. I was looking at the numbers. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. And colleges have, it looks like, more flexibility in some ways with the money too. And then we looked at state funding for financial aid operations like our office through BFAP, what they call BFAP/SFAA is a long name. And that's, it's like Board Financial Aid Program, Student Financial Aid Assistance or something like that. And it's what funds some of our operations, which you would think, considering operation costs continue to go up, and they continue to want us to do outreach and process students faster and do things more efficiently, that the funding for this would go up, right, Dana? Am I making a good case here?
You know, I think you make an excellent case, because you said like five ands there. Yeah.
So nothing against those who can't hear or have hearing impairments, but do the people up in Sacramento have hearing impairments when it comes to this? Because we are actually looking at a 1% to 2% cut, again, in reality, in the funding available through our BFAP SFAAA for our operations.
Oh, man.
And with no backfill, we've never gotten COLA, unlike other categorical programs, as they call them. You know, categorical programs are things like our EOPS office, our veterans office and all, where DSPS offices for disabled students actually have a carve out of budget money that goes specifically to their offices. And they oftentimes had cost of living increases. We've never had it. So I don't know what the deal is on that.
You know what we're going to have to do, Dennis, is we're going to have to look into those outside, like, sponsorships or, like, you know where I'm going here?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know. I'm more than willing to have my office sponsored by Red Bull if it needs and I only mentioned Red Bull because, you know, during these days of intermittent good sports available on TV, when you get deep in your ESPN 7 and ESPN 8 channels or whatever, you know, when you go down the line, you run into these Red Bull regattas and Red Bull racing, where these guys put on goofy costumes and build like you know, box cars or whatever, you know,
uh-huh.
and race down hills. And it's all for Red Bull is a big sponsor of those, and it's always the funniest thing because they know the course and it's all like lined with bales of hay. But somewhere along the line, there's like just enough of a ramp, maybe about a foot tall, that all of them that have these tiny little wheels or big bicycle wheels, again, built on a flimsy platform for one, as soon as it hits it, if it is, doesn't hit it exactly square going over, the thing just, the tires all just fall apart. It's just funny as all heck. So, yes, if Red Bull would like to sponsor my office, we'll put a machine in the office, hand them out for free, and then I just need some operational money.
I'm like you on this.
If the state can't solve the problem on this and see
Let's go private sector.
You know, applying for financial aid is so important, we're going to give you less money. But anyways, we talked quite a bit about that. We talked about what's called the California Virtual College. I don't know if you know much about this. About 10 years ago, I'm going to estimate, I could be wrong. There was an there was an open enrollment type of initiative put out there in the state where students, and this is way before we were way all 100% online, were able to take classes here, there, everywhere within the community colleges relatively easily. So if they couldn't find a class admission, they could be directed into this OEI thing, and maybe a dozen schools or so participated, and then they could say, oh, I find a class out at Butte College in the north, online, of course, to fill in the requirement I can't get in my home school. And it was kind of like a behind-the-scenes thing, a consortium in a sense, so that the schools would be already working together. Never really got off the ground in big numbers and all, but they want to make a big push now to have all the schools in the state, community colleges, do this. So we talked quite a bit about that because there's a lot of technical details to making this work. And you can only imagine that unless things are automated, you know, data exchanges between this virtual college platform, so that if we suddenly had 50 mission students taking 50 classes online at 50 different community colleges in the state, how do you handle all that data?
Right.
Admissions data. Financial aid. It's like a consortium agreement. That's what they want us all to do. So there's a lot of technical details that many of us are looking at and trying to work out on how to make this work. Because if it's one student, I could do it all day long. That's easy. I mean, we don't get a whole lot of consortium agreements anyways. Right. I think the biggest semester I've ever had here, admission, was maybe 10 students.
Wow.
More often we have 1 to 2.
Yeah, that's usually the...
And sometimes within the year, it's the same student. Because they live in a town near us called like Glendale. And then they take most of their classes with us, but there's always something they can't get with us. They take it at, I don't know, Glendale College, for example. But yeah, it's one of those topics that are out there. And then also we talked quite a bit about federal updates. I think we covered this on the last show, right, about the Appropriations Act, the omnibus bill that funds everything from here until whatever period of time that they can, and how the FAFSA Simplification Act was rolled into that. So we talked a little bit on that. The good thing is, you know, for much of it, it doesn't go into effect until the 2023-2024 school year,
because
there's a lot of details to be worked out.
Yeah, absolutely. I can only imagine.
But yeah, it was definitely a big topic of discussion for everyone, because it's just one of those things that, you know, how are we going to prepare for all this? And you know, luckily there are some cooler heads among the people that were getting scared that said, we got time. And remember.
Yeah, oh, definitely. We could have some time. And then, you know, I was going to mention it earlier. It'll be interesting to see with the new administration coming in, if there will be any further changes and, you know, whatever support, you know, may be available.
Well, and that's the big key to this. You know, the FAFSA simplification was all part of retiring Senator Lamar Alexander from, I'm going to say Tennessee, it could be Kentucky, but I think it's Tennessee. He was a former Secretary of Education many years ago. It was always his big thing. If you listen to the NASFA off-the-cuff podcast, you'll hear them talk about how he would always walk around with the paper FAFSA in his hand and talk about simplification, right? It's always been his big push, which we thank him for, because again, if you don't make a big push, you get nothing done. And it finally got passed. But like, you're right. A lot will depend upon with the Biden administration coming in, right, and who his secretary selection is, and his overall thoughts on education, K through 12 and higher education, where the regulations then fall. Because that's really key to this, you know.
Yeah.
The act itself, people always, you know, this is where, you know, it's hard to understand government from afar sometimes. Congress, which is our Senate and our representatives, House of Representatives, they pass legislation, laws that get signed by the president and enacted. But from there, those laws are not all the specifics to how things work. So they may say FAFSA simplification and what the goals are, maybe, and certain things will be outlined very specifically, but there'll be a lot of room for interpretation. And that's where they have to create the rules and regulations to this whole thing. How will this actually work? You know, if the FAFSA Simplification Act said something like income and assets will be treated in X, Y, and Z manner, then it's a matter for the regulations of, okay, now when we build this simplified FAFSA, how do we make that happen? You know, how do the questions actually get worded? How do they get deployed and all? So it's multiple levels, and that's where, again, an administration, especially an incoming administration, could have a lot of leeway in how to either make it easier for students, make it more complex, sometimes they do with without knowing it, or make it more useful or whatever. So you're right. It's going to be interesting to see. And when we got some time to see how this all will play out.
Absolutely. And then, Dennis, I want to tell you, Mr. Alexander was a senator from Tennessee.
Thank you. See, I wanted to say it one way, and then I was concerned that I would get it wrong. But, you know, it's just one of those things that I'm not always 100% sure of myself. But, hey, why don't we just take a little short musical interlude here and move ourselves into another cup.
And welcome back for our second cup segment on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
Time for a refill. That was a lot of talking.
Yeah, it was. Let me ask you, what are you drinking this morning?
Just a little Pure Leaf raspberry tea. Unfortunately, it's not the raspberry herbal tea or whatever. This is like their standard one that's got a little more sugar in it than I like.
Oh, okay.
But they do have one that's similar to the hibiscus one where it's caffeine free.
Okay, that
but
sounds
this,
good.
But this one isn't caffeine free, but it's still very good flavor. I like it.
Okay.
Yeah. I like them for traveling purposes in the car, you know.
And it tastes good.
Yeah. That's why I get this one in particular. So again, if the people from Pure Leaf want to sponsor me,
is this your plug, sir? Is this your plug?
Yeah, just send cases of it. That's all I'm going to say. Make it easy, everybody. Don't wait. Don't dilly dally on a six pack. But anyways, we've got all that stuff we just covered. Let's talk a little bit maybe about conference. How's that?
Okay.
Cover a little bit about what's going on with our conference here. So, you know, we've got most of the sessions all lined out. I want to thank everyone who is planning to present and has come back to me and said, yes, we're going to create the agenda very soon. Over the weekend is one of my duties because we kind of need to lay it out so that we know that, okay, if Dana's doing three sessions, they're not all at the same time. Although you could be that way and it would be a little weird only because we're going to ask most presenters to pre-record their sessions.
Smart. Okay.
You know, this is something a lot of other conferences have done. And technically speaking, it makes it a little easier on our side. We have support from our chancellor's office on doing the conference, but to support like four or five or even more live people at the same time can be a little daunting.
It can be. It can be. And then I like the idea of you creating your own schedule to view them, when you're ready. I think that's an awesome idea.
Yeah, so I'm going to have that all kind of laid out. So it'll still be like, okay, at 8:30 in the morning on Wednesday, you have a choice of these four sessions. But at the end of the conference, most of them will be available on demand too, to those okay. who've registered. So we've got it all set up. Registration for the conference should open next week. We're going to keep it at $100.
Ooh.
So it's the lowest we've ever been.
Deal. That's
normally, you know, normally, yeah, it's like $275 to $300.
Yeah, it's yeah, that's a one of my premium collectible statues right there. Yeah. I could, you know,
so
buy. So that's pretty good. $100.
Exactly. So you're going to save yourself some money.
Yes.
You know, that you can route to other more fun things for yourself, baby Yodas and stuff. So we're going to do that. We have sponsors. We're not going to be able to do an exhibit hall as we normally would, where we would have many of the exhibitors
yeah.
that are in uh-huh. related parts to financial aid, you know, private lending, mm-hmm. software company, document imaging, promotional things, you know, like where you could find out the news thing.
No free pins, Dennis. No free pins. And no,
it's really hard to do that through the computer.
They can send it. They can mail it.
Yeah, mail it to possibly 300 or more people. Look, this was an idea at one point, but the logistics of it in my mind just
it's pretty insane.
Burst some bubbles. Was thinking of sending like a swag bag kind of box of things that everyone had registered for conference, but it would require somebody somewhere having to collect stuff from all the vendors, which would have had to book themselves 8 months ago when we were still in the middle of all this, to get all that material set up and ready to go. So we're not going to be able to do that. But there will be sponsorships. So our sponsors will be able to have videos for their organization placed before and after breakout sessions.
Okay.
Or the keynote, which is its own thing, the keynote presentation. Or the president's reception, which will be on the Wednesday night of the conference. And the business meeting, which closes out the conference day, the last day. So all that information is going up on the website in just a matter of a week, hopefully.
Nice. That's going to be so cool.
Yeah. And then fundraising, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you, I think we mentioned it on the last show. Mm-hmm. Did you guys get a chance to talk about maybe live streaming our podcast?
No, but it's a very strong possibility we may do that. We may have either a session on that,
uh-huh.
all on its own, or it might be one of these that, again, we may do it as one of the session fill-ins that we have to do on, you know, COVID best practices, what we've done in offices and all, and get some people on it.
Oh, man.
Because, I'm still looking for a few more. Because I'm still looking for a few more sessions to fill in. And then fundraising, we're still trying to figure out how to do our scholarship fundraiser.
I know
David Shook on one of our prior shows suggested a mixed drink book.
Yes.
Right?
I think that's awesome. I think that's a great idea.
We'll have to see.
And then everybody sends in the recipe to their favorite, holiday drink.
Yeah, we'll have to see if we can do that. Otherwise, we're going to do something probably through the CISFA website where you register for conference. We'll have something there available for people to donate separately.
We're
still working out the details. Now, one of the things related to conference that some other people had been emailing me about is, and I know you may have gone to one of these. Usually conference runs like this. Monday and half of Tuesday is the all financial aid directors training. Our conference then picks up Tuesday afternoon and runs through Thursday morning. Usually during the all directors training, we offer up financial aid 101, kind of like training for new people into the profession,
mm-hmm.
and financial literacy. And CISFA kind of handles the financial aid 101, so a lot of people like you and me would be presenting. Financial literacy is handled by the state chancellor's office. This year, because of logistics and all, we're going to actually move those off. So people who've been asking, we're going to put those trainings off into March or April.
Okay.
Just so you know. And it'll probably be free, so all the better, right?
Man, nothing better than F-R-E-E.
That's right. No money out of your...
It's so good I had to spell it, Dennis.
You're so good. You're so good. Dana, you're so funny too, you know. Well, Dana, amazingly here, we have ran through so many great topics. We don't even have time for our few semi-newsy items. Isn't that nice?
That is awesome.
So why don't we just take another short little musical interlude and then head into our last part of the show. You know, this new music here, I think, lends itself so much better to quick little segues. Because here we are. We are back for our last sip segment, everybody.
Get it in.
Get that last one of whatever your coffee, tea, or whatever else you're drinking here on a Friday morning. Or, again, maybe we have people who listen on Saturdays.
That's true.
Whatever works.
Maybe Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Saturday night and you're listening to our podcast? That would be awesome. Make it a thing.
Yes.
Call up your friends and then stream it live or something.
and pour you a little something, something.
Yeah, it would be a something, something at that point, I'd say.
Yes.
Dana, you got any I Dare You To selections for the fans?
I feel like I'm failing our listeners. I do apologize to all you listening today. I do not have an I Dare You, but I am working on it.
Don't worry.
I will redeem myself.
Why would you not have one, Dana? What have you been doing?
I have been, oh my gosh, you're going to make me confess this, Dennis.
Yes.
I have been so wrapped up in Reno 911.
Oh my goodness.
Binge watching.
Yes. You heard her, everybody. Reno 911.
I confess. Yes. I love Reno 911. And that's what I've been doing with my life for these past couple of weeks is binge watching Reno 911.
That is too much.
Yes. Wow. Special shout out to Niecy Nash, if you're listening.
Oh, yeah. I got you. Well, I don't really think I have one myself. I'm trying to think. I'm looking at my little CDs that I still have to put into my music library, and I've already gone through all of them. I'm trying to think if I listen to anything else that's really new. I listened to the new Paul McCartney album.
Ooh, okay. Check it out. How do you feel?
I can't say I dare you. Well, maybe I should say I dare you to listen. And you tell me what your thoughts are on it. If anything, there you go. I'm going to put my I dare you to is, and I'm writing it down in my show notes. Dennis, listen to the new Paul McCartney album. It's different. That much I will say. It is different. It's a little more instrumental.
Is there like a specific single that we should like maybe start off with or just go?
I've only listened through it from head to toe, all the way through once.
Okay.
Cool. You know, I understand he's a Beatle. So obviously he's got lots of talent and he does great music most of the time. But his more modern releases sometimes, you forget that he's an older Paul McCartney. So he doesn't have that Beatles range of vocals. And I guess don't know if he's writing all his own music or others are doing it too. You know, we're in a different era now. I don't know if I like the album 100% yet. That's why I'm going to dare some people to listen to that.
Yeah. And maybe you just need some time to kind of marinate on it and listen to it a couple of times.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, it's interesting. I think it started with a big, long instrumental piece. And that's why I was like initially going, is this Paul McCartney? But apparently he also plays all the instruments on the album. So if you've got a streaming service, it came out very recently, everybody. And I have one of those paid for streaming services. You know, find it, test it out. It's not Beatlesque in any way. I mean, Paul hasn't done Beatlesque music for a long time. He's doing much more complicated stuff. Probably
like the stuff I like you know what I'm into. Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I would suggest for you, the album I would suggest for you, Dana, to listen to would be Flowers in the Dirt.
Okay.
Came out probably about 20 years ago because I think I have the 20-year re-release. Mm-hmm. It was an album that he did, or maybe even more, maybe 30 years. Goodness, I don't know. He did a lot of the songs with Elvis Costello.
Oh, okay.
So there's a couple of songs on there in particular that he did. And it's a little more offbeat Paul. And again, Paul's got a better vocal register at that point. Flowers in the Dirt, if necessary, I will I'll throw over the fence to your condo this double disc CD that I've got of it.
And I'll look for it on my streaming platform.
Yeah, do that for simplicity. Yeah. Well, Dana, unbelievably here, you know, I don't even think we have time to go over the last topic of the day that we can save for next week because I see here we are running out of time, amazingly.
My goodness. We had a lot to say today, didn't we?
We sure did, considering we had a show that almost looked like it had nothing going on with it.
Listen, sir. It's the two of us. Of course, we have something going on. Of course.
Of
we
course.
Have something to say. Yes.
Well, that's good, because we're out of time today, but there's always the next episode. So I want to thank Dana, my co-host, for joining us today on What's Brewing CISFA, and thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And hey, everyone, check out the CISFA website at CISFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. And if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at WBCISFA@gmail.com.
Yes, everybody, please email us. Yes. For this and all What's Brewing CISFA podcast, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcast.google.com. Or for those using Apple devices, open your podcast app. Find us by searching for CISFA. You can also find our episodes at wbcisfa.podbean.com. That's pod and bean as one word. And you can find us on Spotify and Pandora and iHeartRadio now. And you can also listen to us through the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo by using Alexa.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and myself.
This has been episode number 55, recorded the morning of Friday, January 15th, 2021.
Everyone, have a great day.
And have a great weekend. See you all later.